and welcome to InfoTech Research Group's monthly threat landscape briefing. We use these briefings to cover current topics related to cybersecurity, such as threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and exploitation methods and tactics being used by today's cybercriminals. My name is Ian Mulholland, a research analyst at InfoTech. For this month's briefing, Logan Rohde will kick things off with a short word on cybersecurity best practices issued by the U.S. Coast Guard. Then we'll hear from me about a recent shift seen in how phishing attacks are being conducted. Following that, Mark Mazur will discuss a new study that found American companies are seriously underprepared for the CCPA. And lastly, Michelle Tran will explain the details of a recently discovered Zoom video vulnerability. Without further ado, let's begin.
If you hear the word ship and think, what an interesting environment for IT deployment, this next piece is for you. While IT and cybersecurity may not be the first thing that most of us think of when we think of shipping on the high seas, modern ships are controlled via complex IT systems, and securing them properly is becoming increasingly important. It was recently reported that back in February, the U.S. Coast Guard had to assemble a cybersecurity team to assist a vessel struggling with an incident on its way to the port of New York and New Jersey. The incident was caused by a malware infection that, quote, significantly degraded the ship's onboard computer system, though the essential control systems were not affected, which the Coast Guard noted was very lucky. The Coast Guard reported that, quote, it is unknown whether this vessel is representative of the current state of cybersecurity for vessels of this type, but it was revealed that USB drives containing cargo data are commonly transferred at the pier. However, these devices are not usually scanned for malware before being plugged into the ship's system. And it seems this was the cause of the incident, which is believed to have been accidental and not a targeted attack. Nevertheless, the Coast Guard has issued the following best practices for maritime security, which are segment use networks, create unique network profiles for each employee, secure them with passwords and/or physical authentication, employ the least privilege principle, and sparingly use admin accounts. Install and routinely update basic antivirus software, regularly patch your operating systems and applications, and lastly, avoid using external media, or if it must be used, scan it for malware on a standalone system before plugging it into any shipboard network.
I want to talk a bit about a shift that has been seen in how bad actors are targeting organizations. These shifts happen all the time, and a shift in priority is necessary to combat them. Cyber attacks are becoming more personal, according to ZDNet. The typical bad actor is moving to a model that focuses more on accuracy instead of volume. Volume used to be the popular approach. For the more people you hit, the higher the chances were that you'd be successful. However, a flaw with the volume model is that the successes may not yield ripe fruit. The bad actor may just end up with information that is not worth enough money to make the effort of the attacks worth it. By moving to an accuracy model, the bad actors will now spend more time deciding who to attack and creating an attack that is more convincing and likely to succeed. If we compare this to the sport of phishing, that's with an F, this is like moving from using a net to changing the type of bait you're using. The net may yield more fish, but if you are looking for a specific kind of valuable fish, you may come up empty-handed. However, if you change the bait to one that the valuable fish likes, the chances of getting the valuable fish will be far higher. Many of our members are seeing this shift as well. Phishing attacks, now with a PH, are incredibly convincing, almost as though the hacker did their research before conducting the attack. The reality is, they probably did. With email security gateways catching most of the obvious spam, phishing attacks need to be convincing enough to trick the technology, and chances are, if it can do that, it can trick anybody who reads it who is not on the lookout for suspicious emails. An organization that is not actively training their end users to recognize and report phishing emails will fall victim to these attacks. So that is my advice, the same advice I give to any member I speak to about phishing. It is imperative that you conduct mock phishing tests regularly. The more often you can send out these tests, the lower the percentage of potential clickers will be. Best practice is to do these tests monthly, to have them target different groups of people, and to have the phishing emails mimic those typically seen by the group being tested. Of course, it is even better to pair these tests with training on phishing. This could be either training to the entire organization or just to the repeat offenders who are continually failing the tests.
GDPR, also known as the European General Data Protection Regulation, came into effect on May 25, 2018. Whereas only half of companies self-reported compliance before the May 25th deadline, most companies took 7 months or longer to achieve these benchmarks. Based on DataGrail's research, two-thirds of companies assigned dozens and sometimes hundreds of employees to manage their compliance with GDPR, investing on average between 2,000 and 4,000 hours to prepare. A new report from DataGrail has found that only half of companies affected by GDPR self-reported as compliant with Europe's new privacy regulations, demonstrating that most companies were ill-equipped to deal with the massive operational endeavor required to be compliant. As the January CCPA deadline fast approaches, and more states come up with their own data privacy regulations, this study shows that U.S. companies are likely to face their own uphill battle even if they are not affected by GDPR. Furthermore, half of companies under GDPR still use manual processes to manage privacy rights requests, having on average at least 25 employees involved in dealing with requests such as the right to be forgotten. Considering two-thirds of companies surveyed processed at least 100 requests since GDPR within the past year, the amount of work involved in being compliant has led privacy professionals to say that if there was one thing they would have done differently, is that they would have started planning and implementing things a lot sooner. While American companies that did not fall under GDPR probably breathed a sigh of relief last year, this study shows that they should really put in the time and effort now before CCPA hits. But currently, American orgs believe it will take them less time to prepare for CCPA than GDPR, even though technology rates for CCPA are lower than they were for GDPR. What this study shows is that there's already a disconnect around how to be compliant, with companies seeing privacy as something that needs to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis rather than as part of a larger strategy to deal with privacy regulation. One of the biggest issues for organizations, then, will be how to determine if they are actually compliant. Privacy professionals will need to assess how much and what types of personal information are used, bought, and sold by them, how that data is collected, processed, and stored, what it is used for, as well as who owns this data. If it turns out that your organization has to be compliant, check out Infotech's research blueprint on how to discover and classify your data, or how to build a privacy program. The mishandling of personal data can result in serious financial consequences or reputational damage, and customers are becoming increasingly privacy aware, with many demanding that the companies they engage with have demonstrable privacy practices. Don't wait until a privacy incident occurs to force action. Start building a privacy program today.
In March 2019, Zoom was notified of a security concern relating to their meeting platform. Specifically, they were made aware of an architectural vulnerability where if an attacker was able to get Zoom users to click on their Zoom meeting ID URL through either an email message or on an internet web server, the user would unknowingly join the attacker's Zoom meeting. As a result, the attacker could potentially gain access to the user's webcam, particularly those that have not configured their Zoom client to disable video footage upon joining meetings. At the present time, Zoom has since released a patch preventing this type of staged denial of service and updated their applications to apply and save users' video preference from their first meeting to all subsequent meetings on all platforms. With that being said, users and system administrators will still be able to configure their client video settings to turn off video when joining a meeting.
This concludes this month's briefing. If you have any questions about what you've heard, want to learn more, or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us and set up an analyst call. Thank you, and see you next month.